The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hills. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Can you hear me in there?
We can hear you everywhere.
Can everyone hear me?
We can hear you outside.
I'm getting the thumbs up.
Yes, we are on the air. Everything looks fine.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa with my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good. Welcome to Jefferson State of Mind.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading, in beautiful Shasta County at 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, you can call into 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. Christina, how are you, my dear?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am. Just the continuing soiree we all have here. It's been really a lot of fun this week. A lot of things have happened. We have some very interesting things going on with our county at this point, interesting things in California at this point. I think that right now, I think we have to really start looking at where we are as a citizenry in this state. I think that it's time really to take a good hard look. If there's anything to fix, we better get to fixing. What do you think, my good friend?
I agree 100%. Get her done.
Yep. Anyway, there was something I'll address right away. There was a newspaper article that was talking about an investigation in the Record Searchlight by Damon Author. And I did get a response from the Sheriff's Department, as I believe he did too. And basically the response from the Sheriff's Department was that the information being given in the article was not accurate. It was not factual. It was assumption that was made up by Mr. Author, according to the person who gave me this call. They don't even know where Damon Author came up with this stuff.
So, sounds like they've got themselves into a pickle.
You think so. And
attacking private citizens?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. So I know that, and I have, I've had contact with the sheriff back and forth. Basically, he said, you're not accused of anything. And so there was a big, I'm not really sure where these people in the press think they can go, but I want to make something perfectly clear. I am a citizen. I am not a celebrity. Mm-hmm. We pay, which we're happy to do because that's how radio stations stay in business. And Carl's been very good to us and very fair with us on the price. And we pay to have this radio program to express what we believe and also to have guests on that want what we all want, and that's liberty and a better life for our kids and grandkids. As a citizen and not being a celebrity, I can't just be taken out of context, put into different things with people accusing me, even if they're in the press, lawfully, even if they're in the press. So we're just going to let that simmer for a few days here. But I want to thank the Sheriff's Department for getting back to me and also for the fact that, Sheriff Johnson was very explicit in what he told me. And I thought it was something to where, you can't just make accusations against citizens. And I think that the press and the Record Searchlight and Author Damon has gone too far this time. I don't know what kind of legal protection he thinks he can have, because I don't really know what I'm going to do at this point. But I know, like a lot of other citizens, I think it's just normal citizens. We're tired of being attacked.
And there were others mentioned in the article, correct?
Pardon me?
There were others mentioned in the article,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, you know, okay. And so, yeah, there were. And the whole point is that really and truly the positioning of what was construed by the paper or what was assumed by the paper, as I was told, the facts are not even accurate. They're not. It's non-factual.
There we go.
So anything that's going on is unrelated to moi, totally unrelated to moi.
So it's fiction.
It's fiction.
So he's writing a fiction article.
Yeah, I think we've let the press get too far here, and I think that some of us maybe need to see what remedies there are for people that basically say things about you that aren't true and do those kinds of things. Again, it's one thing if you're an elected official. It's another thing if you're a celebrity. But I'm none of those things.
Mm-mm.
I'm just...
I don't want your autograph.
That's right. But I'm a nobody.
Unless it's on a check.
So I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody that's everybody that wants liberty, right?
Right.
I'm a nobody that's everybody that wants to take care of their kids and grandkids. I'm a nobody that's everybody that wants freedom for their country and their and the future
mm-hmm.
of their country. But the all us nobodies all of a sudden become everybody, and then everybody becomes somebody, and it's called we the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, on to the next subject.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, my good friend, you're going to be endeavoring some things soon, and I think that that's a good thing. I have to say that as your friend, as your brother, there's probably no one with more integrity than you. I mean, I even loaned you my truck.
Yes, you did.
I don't loan my truck to anybody.
Appreciate it.
So I think that look at things here, I think what we have to understand is that it's sort of like, you know, a new level of attack has come to just the folks. You know, a lot of people that get out there and try to get things done are just under that basic attack. I know that we have some supervisor races coming, as I just alluded to. But we also have some things that are going to be happening in the state. We have assembly people that are running. We have
Senate
that's running. Do we have, at this point, you know, because you are in the Republican Central Committee, is there any other candidates for assembly that we're missing here or anything you've heard about someone else running for Senate of late other than Dowley and Fennell?
Not that I've heard.
Not that you've heard.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to see if there's something else going on there, and I haven't heard a peep.
Mm-mm. Nothing. But, you know, filing date hasn't come yet. So once that...
When is that date?
That'll be the end... Well, that's for a state office. That could be... I don't know. I'm not. I don't want to say something and be wrong. So.
Okay. Well, what about local races? What's the...
Those start... They start in beginning or middle of November and stop at the first week of December.
Oh.
They're a very short period of time.
Well, let me explain
Short period of time before the election as well.
Right.
So it's when you have an early primary, that's what you have. Instead of going for a whole year or whatever, you have a very short window.
So there's
of time.
there's a time frame you start here and end here when you.
Apply to put your name in the race, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. So you start in October and it goes to December and then you can't do it anymore?
Correct.
So that means somebody could enter into a race between the local race,
mm-hmm.
Between, say, now or the next few days, whenever it is, till December?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we may not have seen all the candidates hop in the ring yet for local elections
That's
either.
Correct.
So I did talk to Mark Baird this week. He's pretty excited about what's going on with his court case.
Yes.
There's been some good moves there. The Ninth Circuit, surprisingly, in a three-judge court, pushed Chief the Magistrate,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Mueller.
Jerry, say her name.
Who's also the Mueller. Who's also the judge in Baird versus Bonta.
Yeah. And, Fraulein Mueller.
What's that?
Fraulein Mueller. Gee, that's the way it feels when you're in that courtroom. I'm kid you not, sitting there hearing what's being said, and it's like you're going, wait a minute, none of this is true, and you're like, what the heck, you know, how can she get away with it? Oh yeah, that's right, she's the chief, she's the top dog, she can say whatever she wants, and nobody in that room is going to say anything to her.
The Constitution means what I say it means in my courtroom.
When I say it, if I say
it.
When I say
it.
If I even address it.
Yes. It means what I say it means.
It's so frustrating because Mark's team has done everything right. They've done everything beyond right. They have unearthed everything that they could possibly unearth, and they put it into their court case, and it still is fictionalized by Mueller and her team, which is the state, because she's telling the state what to do. And then it goes up to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit turns around and says, no, you did everything wrong in this. They slapped her hand, pushed it back to her, and essentially told her to do it right. So she needs to do it right, which means we could have constitutional carry in all 58 counties. Some is, but a weak volume.
Yeah, we've lost FM, and I think we've lost our online capacity.
But we need to keep going because people can listen.
We are going to keep going.
Yep.
We are.
Yep.
So I'm just letting the folks know, if you're on AM, stay there.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, Mark, that's really interesting stuff. And it's also, can you explain, you're always talking about in bank. And a lot of people don't know what that means. You've explained it a couple of times on the show, but I think that's, you had mentioned that this case could end up there. Is that accurate, or and if it is, what does all that mean? Go ahead.
Well, the Duncan D. Bonta case was the 30-round magazine ban, and Judge Benitez declared that unconstitutional. It went to the Ninth Circuit in a 3-judge panel. The 3-judge panel declared the ban on 30-round magazines unconstitutional. Well, the state of California hates the Second Amendment. They hate you. They hate liberty. They hate everything about it except their ability to take your money. So what they did was they appealed to what's called an en banc rehearing. An en banc is it's usually all the judges of an appellate court hear the case jointly, and then they all vote on it. But since the Ninth Circuit is such a big circuit and it has 32 judges, there is a special rule in the Ninth Circuit that only 11 judges vote. So en banc in the Ninth Circuit is not quite the same as every place else, but they pick 11 judges, supposedly on a rotating basis, but typically they're pretty much liberal. And then those judges rehear the case, and then they, in 50 out of the last 50 Second Amendment cases, the Ninth Circuit's rolled against the Second Amendment every single time. So now, the Duncan case was, the magazine ban was ruled unconstitutional by a 3-judge panel in the Ninth Circuit, so the state appealed to an en banc panel. Well, en banc is very rare. Less than 0.1% of all cases get an en banc rehearing. But in the Ninth Circuit, every single Second Amendment case gets one. Don't you find that odd? Well, of course, the en banc ruled, oh, no, a 30-round magazine ban is quite constitutional. Well, after the New York Rifle and Pistol case hit bottom and the Bruin test came out, the United States Supreme Court had a bunch of cases in front of them, Second Amendment cases. One of them was the 30-round magazine ban, Duncan v. Bonta. And they did not hear the case because of New York Rifle and Pistol. They simply sent it back to the Ninth Circuit and said, do it again. Do it right this time using the Bruin test and the Bruin guidance. Well, the Ninth Circuit en banc panel got the case, and they knew that they would lose if they didn't find for the Second Amendment. So what they did was they kicked it back to the original judge in the Southern District, clear out of the Ninth Circuit, and said, rehear the case using the Bruin guidance. Well, Judge Benitez said, yeah, it's still unconstitutional. I've said this once, and now I'm saying it again. And he quoted our case in his ruling this time. because that Ninth Circuit opinion in our case is precedent and can be quoted. So now he said, no, the magazine ban is still unconstitutional, just like I said 4 years ago. And, well, what the state of California did was they made the unprecedented move of appealing directly to the en banc of the Ninth Circuit again. And the en banc accepted the case. So they skipped the three-judge panel because they were afraid they'd lose again. It would probably have gone back to the original three-judge panel who said it was unconstitutional once before. So they're going to go back to the en banc panel, and this will be pretty interesting. But what they've done is they've kicked the can down the road another year. And that's what these guys do. They steal your liberty every day because they keep delaying, spending more money until you're either dead or you're broke and you can't pursue the case anymore.
Well, justice.
To me, that is tyranny.
Justice delayed is justice denied. And since when have we not had justice delayed? It seems as if that's the new norm.
Well,
or maybe the old norm.
And they're using the law to manipulate to get their desired outcome. And not to use the law to find, let the law's outcome be lawful and constitutional. Number one, not lawful, but constitutional. So, what are they doing? I mean, these guys—they're not serving in good capacity as judges, in my opinion. I mean,
you mean good behavior?
In any way, being good. I think they all need to go.
Yeah, it's.
Well, it's interesting to me because, like Judge Mueller. One time our attorney said to Judge Mueller, hey, you need to use Supreme Court guidance in your ruling. And Judge Mueller, I thought she was going to have an aneurysm. I mean, she started kind of yelling, and I find that statement frivolous and dangerous, and I follow the dictates of the Ninth Circuit, and that's my circuit, and I don't follow the Supreme Court. I follow the Ninth Circuit, and they follow the Supreme Court, or whatever she said. Well, interestingly enough, The Ninth Circuit has now told her she's abused her discretion. She did not apply the law correctly. She did not follow the law. Do it again and do it right using the guidance from New York Rifle and Pistol v. Bruin.
Let's see if she does it this time, right? And let's see if she follows her own words this time.
They also told her, and you hustle it up because you've denied justice to these people for 4 years, so you... We want you to expeditiously rule on this using the correct law and applying the correct guidance. Well, she's done nothing. So was she lying then or is she lying now? Because she was lying
when
she said she had to her circuit. So either she's a liar when she spoke the first time or she's a liar now. But she is a liar because those two things are contradictory.
Wow.
Well, what do you do with a lying judge? Well, I'll tell you what. You don't do anything.
Yeah.
Because they're above the law. They think they're above the law, and we need to stop that.
Kind of like the press?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Anyway, yeah. Well, so, anyway, we're going to go off to our break here, Mark, if you want to hang on through it. But if they, again, we're offline, so... Are we still offline?
No, we're back on.
We're back on. Good.
Yeah, we're back on.
So we may be getting a call from Mike and Patty Smith with the Election Integrity Project in California. But
well, I'll go ahead and go then if you got another guest.
Well, we think.
No, not today.
No. They were going to call in with a short blurb.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
okay,
all right, brother. Well, listen, if you know you can.
For a bit, then.
Well, if they don't come on, you know, you're always welcome to call back. We don't have a rule here. We let you call back whenever you want.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Welcome to this week's Shasta-Lake Town Hall Meeting. I'm your host, Penelope Smith, here with the latest local updates. In our first brief, the Shasta County Sheriff's Office is conducting an investigation involving conservative groups and individuals who believe the 2020 election was stolen.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground. won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back.
Penelope Smith here with the latest local updates. In our first brief, the Shasta County Sheriff's Office is conducting an investigation involving conservative groups and individuals who believe the 2020 election was stolen. The Sheriff's Office has records from a public records request from the organization American Oversight regarding communications between the sheriff and 20 election fraud groups, but is not releasing them due to an exemption for confidential investigative files. Some of the named individuals say they have not been contacted by the sheriff's office. In our second brief, California Governor Gavin Newsom recently signed Assembly Bill 854, which is a 25-year compact with the Redding Rancheria. The compact recognizes the tribe's ability to move the casino to I-5 just south of South Bonneville Road. The final federal approval lies with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The compact also allows the tribe to distribute funds directly to local governments rather than through the state, which has not been distributing the funds. Overall, the compact with the state is a major milestone for the tribe and its efforts to move the casino to a more advantageous location along the interstate. On the status of the jail, Shasta County Sheriff Michael Johnson has announced a plan to reopen the now closed floor of the county jail by Thanksgiving. Johnson said the department will accomplish this by temporarily reassigning sworn and non-sworn employees from other divisions within the sheriff's office to help staff the jail. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors was unable to vote on October 5, 2023 on a zoning change to allow the expansion of rides and attractions at the Hawes Farm due to a lack of quorum. Three of the five supervisors, Patrick Jones, Kevin Cry, and Mary Rickert, recused themselves from the vote because of conflicts of interest, leaving only two supervisors present. This created uncertainty about when a vote could occur. Options include the board researching ways for current members to vote, one of the recused members deciding to vote after all, or waiting indefinitely until a new board is elected that could form a quorum. Hawes Farm has been adding rides and attractions beyond what's allowed under its current planned development zoning and wants to rezone part of its land as a commercial recreation to allow the expansions. Neighbors oppose the change. The Planning Commission has forwarded a recommendation for approval to the board. The farm's popular fall festival featuring a pumpkin patch, corn maze, and haunted house can operate under the current zoning. On another note, a bill allowing Amsterdam-style cafes in California cities that opt in has passed the state legislature and awaits Governor Gavin Newsom's signature. AB 374 would let local governments license lounges where people could legally buy and consume cannabis on site. The cafes are modeled on those in Amsterdam, offering cannabis along with food, drinks, and entertainment. Haney hopes the bill will aid existing cannabis businesses and attract more tourists. Though recreational marijuana is legal in California, dispensaries currently only allow sales. The bill would take effect January 1, 2024, but only in cities and counties that approve cafes. If signed, the Cannabis Cafe Bill would make California the first state to allow on-site cannabis lounges. Lastly, the Shasta County Veterans Office will be hosting its last town hall meeting of the year tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the BOS Board Chambers. These meetings are held to update our local veterans on any happenings with the VSO, to answer and discuss questions and concerns from attendees, and to provide a way for our veterans' voices to be heard. VSO town hall meetings are open to the public and will be held in the Board of Supervisors Chambers at 1450 Court Street in Redding, California. Thank you for listening to your Shasta Lake Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook, or at 420 Truth Teller on X, formerly Twitter.
We're back. Welcome back, everybody.
Get your blood pumping there. Get going.
Yeah. Are we all good now? Do we have, what do we got? We got AM. What else we got?
Sounds like we have everything.
We have everything again.
Good. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody.
And sometimes you have to reload your online portion if you get kicked off, so go back in and reboot yourself and get back in there, I guess.
Well, now we got
and all. Also, who missed the first part or some parts of our show, we have all our shows
archived.
Yes.
Yep. So they can go back there and listen to us as many times as they want.
That's right. They're archived under Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E.
Yep, mine.
Mine? Well, I think Stones, they're yours, right, Stones?
Stones?
Hey, Stones.
I'm here.
There, Stones? Hey, Stones, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, buddy, you there?
What's happening?
I'm here. a couple glitches today. Oh, it's okay, you know. Sounds like the wind says we need to boot something. So maybe we need to boot the hardware in that station. I don't know.
Something.
Okay, buddy, tell me stories. What's going on?
My gosh. What a week we've had in Shasta County. What a week. Well, I'll finish with the best stuff with some very, very concerning things with the registrar's office, of course. But hey, story out of a SierraThread.com this week in Nevada County. There is a judge that just awarded a citizen access to their November 2020 election results. Yes, you heard me right. It just got decided this week. Their registrar of voters, also a transplant from Washington, D.C., or the East Coast, similar to Kathy Allen, their registrar down there is another corrupt registrar, was denying a Records Act request for the November 20 data and stuff. Well, the judge finally said, nope, you have to give it up. And then, of course, now their taxpayers have to pay back this lady's attorney to the tune of $85,000. Oh, by the way, their board of supervisors down there also corrupt. They also refused to order the registrar to release those same public documents, by the way. So,
why don't they take that out of the registrar's budget?
Yeah, I would say so.
That's where it should go.
No. Let's take that out of the registrar's salary.
Okay.
How about let's do that?
Yeah.
Or maybe just give them a raise like we did with Kathy Darling Allen.
To the tune of $49,000.
$49,000. Man,
A
lot of people don't even make that. Earning. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, maybe the registrar can just get a new position in the county with a 30% raise. You know, a la Martini. Anyways, so a couple good things happening soon. The Anderson High School District is going to be hearing a citizen agenda request regarding a policy that currently an individual school board member can be stymied to get on the agenda. Yeah, you heard me right. A board president and usually the superintendent can actually refuse an elected official board member's request to get on the agenda. Can you believe that?
Yes, because it's happening at the Board of Supervisors. Same thing.
Well, SCOE. It's happening at SCOE. It's basically it's a CSBA policy that's adopted by most schools in the state. Well, that's going to be on the Anderson High School agenda. I believe it's the 17th for an action item. Action item is the key here.
Yep.
That means they're going to vote on and get on the record. So my amendment that I proposed was obviously to allow a single board member to put things under the jurisdiction on the damn agenda. Come on, really? I mean, we really have to ask that? We have to put that in writing, really?
Common sense isn't prevalent, is it?
Yeah, I did that same agenda request through the County Office for Education, and they stymied me.
Yeah.
Meeting is this Wednesday at 1:30, and I'm going to show up and light them up because,
yeah,
you know, remember, they're keeping Arthur Gorman from putting certain things
yeah
on. So, you know, that's a fight. And that's a fight worth having in every school board, honestly.
Well, here's the weird thing. I mean, when you stop and even think about these words, parental rights, what in the hell? Parental rights? Since when does the government have anything to do with parental rights over taking care of their kids? It is just, this state is just...
Yeah.
I can't use the word on this, but on a podcast, you know what word I'm looking for.
It's chaos. chaos. We'll just leave it there.
We'll use chaos.
We can use chaos.
I almost slipped.
Yeah, it's horrible. In fact, you even got a fight for these things, which, you know,
that's crazy. 20 it's crazy.
A generation ago, nobody questioned these matters.
Well, and think about it, too. As you're fighting for these topics in board meetings, you're taking away from the work of the people. The work of the people is not getting completed, is not getting done. So they're fighting over all these issues, so it's delaying anything that really needs to be dealt with, you know, as far as the business of the people.
Sure.
But these are critical things that have to happen, absolutely.
Yes.
However, if they weren't part of what was being thrown out there and screwed up, that the parents had to go and fight for it, then everything else would be getting done, and then these meetings wouldn't last 4 or 5 hours, you know. They'd probably get a few things done and move on.
Well, I'm going to slightly disagree with you there, Winster, because, you know, Mary Rickert, County Board of Supervisors, she likes to say a similar argument, like, you know, if we weren't wasting time with voting machines, if we weren't wasting time with Second Amendment, blah, 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 we could be doing other business. Hey, we're all adults in the room here. I think we can multitask. I think we can do multiple things at once. I really do.
No. I'm not saying that type of business. What I'm saying is fighting for parental rights when that should be assumed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's assumed. Yeah. I mean, I assume that I have parental rights when my children were minors, and I still do.
I got two more items. The last one is some nefariousness going on in the county clerk registrar. Yeah, big surprise there. I found out this week that I'm not sure if you know that CNN, right, Clinton News Network has I don't know 25 channels or something. You know, kind of like ESPN has 15 channels. Well, they've been playing CNN 10. At Anderson High School, and I found out about it. And I said, what? And I emailed the teacher. I said, hey, these people hate America. They're brainwashing our kids to hate America. And, you know, it's an assignment, right? The kid watches a news story and writes a paragraph, which, you know, by itself, I don't have an issue with. What I have an issue with is CNN. And by the way, this happened to my son earlier, in Pacheco District five years ago. I'm like, why is elementary, middle school being shown adult news? How about let them be kids, okay? Let's not brainwash them with this adult crap. Yeah, I said crap. And then so high school, I said the same thing. I said, okay, high school, maybe they need the kids need to start dabbling in a little bit of news reality, maybe, right? But let's do it smartly. And so anyways, I got my teacher to agree, and I picked the news site that my son is now going to be doing, watching and doing stories on. And it's a neutral site, by the way. I even told the teacher Fox is junk. I don't even like Fox. But, peace people, find out in your schools if they're playing CNN 10. Yes, even in elementary school. That's just brainwashing the kids. So please find out from your schools if they're playing that.
Well, they were playing it at Enterprise several years ago that I know of, for sure.
Well, remember CNN used to pay to be in all the airports exclusively, and then that went away, obviously. But they might be paying the school to play CNN 10 in schools. I don't care. I don't want that stuff in my school, with my kid anyway. So everybody please check your school and object to that. That stuff is crazy.
Yep.
So anyway, last thing, trying to see what time it is, but Elections Office, they just held some logic and accuracy testing this week. they posted a piece of... Yeah, I know. All right, go ahead, Lynn. Your turn to laugh.
No, I
laugh.
You're good.
That's your laugh.
They posted a piece of paper on the downtown office that said, oh, we're going to be doing this testing September 27th or later. But nothing on their website. Nothing on their, they have a Facebook page too, by the way, County Elections. But here's the deal. They restricted the posting of this information to the front doors on the downtown office, which everybody knows is now closed to the public. So now who's going to that office now to look for elections announcements? None of them. They're going to Court Street. And that's the only way I found out about it, by walking up to the downtown office looking for an employee who I was told in error was at the downtown office. And then the employee says, no, I'm actually in the new Court Street. So these people don't know what the left and right hand are doing. And then they changed the dates on it. We're like, well, it'll be the 28th. And then the morning of the 28th, listen to this, the morning of the 28th at 8:30, 30 minutes prior to the announced testing, I get an email, oh, sorry, they moved it to next week. And so they're just bouncing us around. making sure, you know, that our schedules and our time off and everything's screwed up, so we can't be there. Well, it finally happened Friday, there was three of us there. Three. And that's only because we were tracking it. And they still had not put it on the county's website as of Friday, the day of the testing. They had not, all they did was had it on the front door. I mean, that's minimal. That is such minimal posting, and it probably meets the minimal intent of the law. But you know what? How about put it on the website? And by the way, they put it on their Facebook page the day before. The day before. They said, oh, come and see the logic and accuracy testing tomorrow. Oh, really? So, yeah, people, all of a sudden now they got to take time off from work the next day. So, of course, they did that intentionally. They did that delayed announcement intentionally to reduce the amount of people there. I'm getting sick and tired of this registrar. Every time she has discretion for a fair and transparent anything, she chooses the opposite of fairness and transparency. I'm getting really tired of it.
Well, you know, there has to be a way to get rid of her. I mean, period. The thing is that it's just enough is enough. I don't know how many more things we can build up against this person when she, you know, when we finally talked to her about the Title 18 242, they allowed yourself and another person to participate in the election process. In the observing and being a poll worker.
So it took
that phone call, it took that conversation to have with her to say, you know what, you're virtually breaking federal law. Nothing gets done. She gets who has jurisdiction over her?
Well, the voters, obviously, and then the county board of supervisors have administrative oversight over her as a county officer. But here, it gets better, Terry.
Well, then what
so
can
we,
they do?
Let me give you two more things before the time runs out.
Yeah, go ahead.
So two more things for this November 7th special election, right? We have people trying to get a hold of Kathy to volunteer to hand count, right? Remember, right? We're in limbo right now with this whole hand count, electronic count thing. But Kathy, she ignored some people, and then other people, they were getting mismatching information. We're still looking for hand counters, or no, we're not looking for hand counters. So here's how it wound up, Terry. Kathy Allen handpicked all of her hand counters. Now, they may be election staff, possibly, but if a citizen's going to volunteer for hand counting for a small election, would you not say, you know what, yeah, let's mix in some citizens, even for a small special election? Would that not be the fair and transparent thing to do, to say yes to a few citizens in conjunction with election workers to hand count? Would you say that's fair and transparent?
No, you're not getting an argument here.
Yeah, and then so last thing. So Friday morning, they did the testing for the new HART machines, okay? Great. Well, when they're done, they only tested 11 machines, because this next election's a very small one, so 11 machines. And then, Terry, they still had to test the electronic tabulation equipment upstairs. They did not volunteer that to us.
Wow.
We had to pull that out of them. They should have said, we were there for 2 hours, and they should have said, oh, by the way, we're going to have to do the bat cave next. No, we had to elicit that from them. They never even volunteered it to us. So unless we had asked, if we did not ask, we would have left, and they would have done the logic testing in the tabulation room without any observers. I mean, I'm just getting sick and tired of Kathy Allen. Now, her staff, again, hard workers and everything, but they're doing what they're told, right? And the fish rots when they head down. So I'm just getting sick and tired of Kathy Allen running that office and doing everything not fair and transparently.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some real wrong things here, you know. Tim Garmon has been such a disappointment. I mean, such a disappointment. I still keep thinking about him wearing that recall Kevin Kreischer in a budget meeting. I mean, if nothing else, it's just bad taste. I mean, no one wants to deprive anybody, and that's my opinion. Nobody wants to deprive any of these elected officials of their constitutionally protected right of free speech or whatever they want to do. But there's a time and a place for things. And, you know,
especially if you're representing a district, whole district and the county, sitting up in one of those chairs, you don't do things in that manner.
Yeah, and I mean, he'd probably win in District 1. But
there was a slight delay on my phone.
Oh, okay. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, you look at someone like him and the things that he's doing is just, it's amazing to me. There's many people in shock. that certainly will never vote for him again, not even close.
Quick announcements, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Go for it.
I don't mind at all. Go ahead.
My local California Rifle Pistol chapter is doing a fundraiser November 9th, Anderson VFW. For tickets, volunteer, or items to donate, please call 962-5168. And the second item is because our Board of Supervisors majority listens to we the people. It's a beautiful thing. We are getting closer and closer to possibly filing a court injunction against Assembly Bill 969. If everybody thinks that that's a good idea to get into court and stop AB 969, which is now in effect, which stops hand counting in almost all elections in California, including ours, if people think it's a good idea to have a judge temporarily stop enforcement of that law, please contact your boards of supervisors and give them your opinion on that matter. Because the more public input, the closer we will get to actually filing for that injunction.
So can you find me a non-corrupt judge? The thing is that, you know, are we at that time where we the people really show we are we the people? I read something this morning in a devotional I do every morning about a gentleman who spoke on after the ratification of the 13th Amendment for the complete abolishment of slavery, and it was a black gentleman who spoke and gave an eloquent sermon about that. You know, we're looking at slavery here, folks. We're looking at subjects. We're not citizens at this point. I mean, think about what's going on here. Parental rights, the situation to where we have a government that does whatever they want. We're kind of looking for an honest judge. I mean, hello.
Our peaceful remedies are they're almost gone. I'm not kidding. Our remedies are almost gone, but that's intentional, right? They want this to go kinetic.
Yep.
They absolutely do want this to go. Now, by the way, we're running out of time here, but because of the March primary and the November election next year, and all the timelines for ballot printing, ballot mailing, and everything else, we have about 2 months left in Shasta County to take our elections back. I mean, and that's going to go very quickly. I still believe we need to physically separate our countywide races onto a separate ballot and a separate envelope, and we need to do that now.
Who has jurisdiction over that, Richard? Richard, who has jurisdiction over
that? County Board of Supervisors has jurisdiction over that. They can make that happen, absolutely. But we have to do it now, because by late December, if none of this is in place, in my humble opinion, it's lost.
Hopefully the Citizens Oversight Committee can help with that and give some advice, which is totally 100,000% legal.
Are they taking action yet? Are they doing anything yet?
The problem with that committee is the staff, county staff, who some are not trustworthy, are developing their agenda, their bylaws, et cetera. So, they're likely going to be stalled. And by the time that committee gets put into place and does reports and meetings and everything else, that two-month window I was telling you about is going to be gone.
So that's a nothing burger.
So it has to go through BOS. They have to take care of it.
The Board of Supervisors right now, they're the people that need to act. That advisory panel can help later for things, but that's only if we're able to keep our local elections fair and transparent. So
right
now it's all on the board's shoulders, and they have about 2 months to act. So please contact them and say, hey, we need to fix our countywide elections. The state and federal elections, they're lost. They're gone.
Yeah.
We have to take back our countywide elections. But I appreciate all the time today, folks.
Hey, Rich, wait, before you go, give me the CRPA fundraiser date again.
Yeah, repeat that slowly, and also repeat the phone number they can call, buddy. Go ahead.
Sure. Thursday, November 9, VFW Anderson.
Okay.
Phone number 962-5168. For tickets, volunteer, or if you'd like to donate, and I appreciate that. Thanks.
What time do the doors open?
Thank you. 6 p.m. will be the start date. Doors open about 4:30.
Perfect.
Starts about 6.
Okay, and then also, how much are the tickets? If they buy individual tickets or a table or whatever?
We're doing, breaking news here on Sovereign Minds. A $40
it's Jefferson State
ticket.
Of Mind.
Jefferson State of Mind.
Thank you. Breaking news here, a $40 dinner ticket. Each $40 dinner ticket will also include you in a drawing for a $10,000 spa package, spa jacuzzi package.
Hmm. Wow.
Each ticket will get you a free ticket for a $10,000 jacuzzi package. Yes, you heard it here first.
Cool. That's awesome. All right, so you're just selling them individual tickets. You're not selling by table then, correct?
We are doing tables, yes. 40 per single ticket. I believe it's 300 per table. Close to that.
Okay.
Close to that.
All right, my friend.
Perfect.
Well, that's thanks for all the information. Thanks for what you're doing. You know, get on that board of supervisors. We need to get on that, folks, and
have a good day, guys.
Push toward
everything. Thank you, Rich.
You betcha, pal. So, anyway, we're coming to the end of our show. So I can tell because I got the thumbs up from Christina.
All right.
And a smile.
That's
so, I mean, that means that we're kind of getting down to the last minute or two here. So next week, Wynn.
Yes, sir.
You have on Camille King.
Camille King, yeah. Mm-hmm. She'll be our guest.
Running for school board.
Yep.
An amazing young lady.
Yes, she is.
Also an amazing sharpshooter.
Yes.
An award-winning amazing sharpshooter.
There you go.
So her husband stays in line. In fact, everybody stays in line around Camille, so she should be on there. And then the following week, we should be having in Mike and Patty Smith of the EIP California.
That's correct.
So with that, folks, a lot of really great things happening. I'll be on assignment for a few Sundays here, but I will be calling in and reporting on what's going on. But I can tell you one thing, there is definitely hope. There is definitely hope, and we are fighting this fight statewide.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to win because we really are. We the people.
Yep.
And we know time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bills? We all have to pay. It's not.